Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I'm Kimberly Atkins-Store, and welcome to Justice by Design, the podcast where I don't just dissect the problems that we're facing in our society, but I talk to the people who are on the ground rolling up their sleeves to find solutions. You know, so often I am asked by people, do our votes really matter? And there's a lot of skepticism about the power of voting. And they do, but it's understandable why some people have that question. We do see lots of litigation around our elections. We've had an election that was decided by a court instead of by the people. We see constant attacks on voting access and people, including a presidential candidate, telling us that the election is already rigged. So where do we find the truth, and how do we ensure that every voter is confident that the ballots that they cast are meaningful and a vital part of our democracy? Well, with me today to break through and work through these questions is Virginia K. Solomon. She is the president and CEO of Common Cause. Virginia, thank you so much for joining me.
I'm so happy to be here. Good to see you, Kimberly.
So before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at Common Cause and what you've done in your career at other organizations like the League of Women Voters.
Yeah, so again, Virginia K. Solomon, I have been with Common Cause now for about half a year. It's actually just finished my 8-month anniversary. And so serving as the president and CEO role there, I'm the 10th president of that organization. It was founded in 1970. And the purpose of Common Cause and why it was even founded in the first place was it was meant to be the people's lobby, because everybody seems to have representation in state capitals and in Congress, except for people, regular everyday people like you and I. So making sure that we're the people's voice and that we're being represented. Prior to that, I was the CEO of the League of Women Voters of the U.S., which is a 100-year-old voting rights organization born out of the suffrage movement. And then I started as a community organizer when I was 17 years old and started my first political campaign at 20 years old doing GOTV work. So this has been my whole life. I really don't know anything else besides doing the voting rights, democracy, and civil rights work. And so here we are in one of the most, what everybody says all the time, is the most important election, really the most important election of our lifetimes.
Yeah, well, I say just to that issue, is this the most important election? We said that last time. Well, it's because we're at a time where every election is so crucially important. So that's always true. But I want to get back to the question that I started this podcast with, which is people asking, does my vote matter? What do you say to people wondering if their votes really matter?
1,000,000% your vote matters. And the one thing that I always talk to people about is separate out the presidential race, first and foremost, because there are a lot of people who only show up for the presidential races. If we think about this just from what happens in your day-to-day life, what's happening on a daily basis, those what they call the down ballot races. So that's whether if it's your local mayor, your city council, your county representatives, your judges, those are the people who are making decisions about most of the things that really are happening and impacting you in your everyday life, whether it's the roads and bridges. I live in Maryland, you know, the fact that we needed to make sure that we have a bridge that just collapsed not that long ago, right? There was an impact for that to our local economy, whether it's who the judges are that are making decisions about critical things like criminal justice, how people are sentenced. We just have now a situation where, you know, think of something like marijuana. It has now been legalized in states all across the country. And there are tons and tons of people who are sitting in prison for simple things like marijuana charges, where there are other people who have built companies and are making millions of dollars off of this. We need to right those wrongs. And so if those are the kinds of things that we say, hey, we want to make sure that we're voting and making decisions and deciding who the people are who are representing our interests and our lives, then it's always going to be important. Presidential elections, people feel some kind of way about it because they think, oh, the Electoral College, does it really matter? Is it only about the battleground states? But I would say to those folks as well, guess what? It actually really does matter. It really does matter. And I can get into the reasons if you want to talk about that,
yes,
because there are lots of reasons why.
I definitely want to get into the reasons. I do really appreciate you pointing out the importance of down ballot races. I mean, I say to people all the time, yes, while the presidential election is important and we know all the issues that are important to Americans that are centered in this presidential election, you are more affected. Every American is more affected by what is happening in their mayor's office, in their city councils, in their school boards, and other things than they are by anything else. That has a greater impact on how you live day to day. And it's crucially important that you make informed, good decisions about that. And those votes always matter. But I want you to talk a little bit more about the reasons why voting matters and why people should not be so discouraged that they don't cast a ballot at all if they're eligible.
Yeah, I mean, I think fundamentally, when it comes to the way that our vote impacts our lives, you know, you just mentioned the local races. There are some races that are only one vote. They're like 15 votes at times. I mean, we've literally had really big elected positions decided by just a handful of votes. And so that's one of the reasons, right? When it's that close, you need to make sure that you're voting. When it comes to the presidential race, I think that one of the things we have to remind ourselves of is our vote for president is also a moral decision that we make as a country. Now, we can talk about all the flaws, right? But who do we want to be as a nation? So when we look at how people's lives are impacted, I think about something like, you know, immigration, and we're nonpartisan. I just want to name that first. So we're not saying this is you should decide for this candidate or not. We just want to make sure people have factual information. But think about immigration, right? We've seen that there are people who are coming to this country. There's this huge debate over immigration. But who are we morally? It's not just about the laws and the policies that dictate us. Who are we telling the rest of the world that we are? If we talk about, as Ronald Reagan said, being this city on a shining hill that everybody looks to, well, that's part of the reason why people are coming to the United States. They want to be a part of this country. But the vilification and the rhetoric around the immigrant population says a lot about who we are. And much of what we're hearing these days and a lot of the chatter is very reminiscent of pre-Nazi Germany in the 1930s. Is that who we want to tell the rest of the world that we're becoming? Wow. You know, we have serious questions that we have to ask ourselves about how we maintain our standing in the world. And it is about our moral compass. So there's a huge debate right now around Israel and Palestine. And we know that people feel a lot of ways. There's a lot of complexity. Whether or not we're going to support the war in Ukraine and that we're going to stand up against injustice and stand up against Vladimir Putin. These are all very important things. It's also about the direction that we want our economy to go in as a nation, right? And so we think about economic justice issues. Do you care more about tariffs and making sure that we're taxing people, companies from other parts of the world? Or do we care about making sure that there is a minimum wage that allows people to only have to be able to work one job? We talk about Make America Great Again. Well, back in the 1950s, you could be a gas station worker in many places and be able to afford a home and take care of your family. That's because there were economic policies in place that allowed more people to be part of the middle class. There were strong unions. There were things. So if we want to talk about Make America Great, well, let's flip that a little bit. What did it really look like? And by the way, it wasn't that great for a lot of people.
Right.
So when we think about women who were considered second-class citizens, what are we saying about the role of women in our country and the health of our women? So if we want women to be able to be strong members of our society, which we already are, it also means that we have to be able to make decisions about our own health care. And it should be as accessible for a woman to get health care as it is for a man to get his little blue pill, right? So we think about all of those things. It says a lot about who we are. And so for me, it's not just about your vote matters for a lot more than who the person is that you're voting for. It's who we say we are as a nation.
I'm so glad that you say that, because I think we've all heard the slogan, vote your values, right? But I'm not sure everybody really thinks about what that means. And your point about morals is so important, because even though, yes, there is the Electoral College, and so you have people like me who live in Washington, D.C., or someone who lives in New York or California or, you know, even Florida, and say, okay, well, I already know how my state's going to go. My vote doesn't matter. Yes, it does, because we still all look at the popular vote, and that informs us as to what kind of mandate a president has. And if the popular vote goes a different way than the outcome, then it certainly should. That should be a signal to that leader that you have not yet earned the majority of Americans' trust, and you need to do the job to do that. And if in a subsequent election that president is rejected, that says something too. So every one of those votes do reflect something, and they're important.
1,000,000%. And I think the other thing is, you know, we talk about the Electoral College because I know a lot of people will say, oh, but, you know, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote but didn't win the Electoral College. And there are several elections. That's why also it's important, because if we think about the Constitution and we want to be able to make changes to the Constitution because we don't like something in it, your voice and your vote is just as important in how we shape the future laws of our country. And, you know, not all laws are good laws. We have Plessy versus Ferguson. We have so many things we can, you know, Brown v. Board, when we were talking about, you know, just education, there were so many laws, right? Jim Crow laws and laws in this country that weren't good. Every law isn't necessarily a good law. Being able to vote for people who will help us change bad laws actually matters. Who we vote for on the court actually matters. Who we vote for as president who's going to decide who's on the court actually matters. And so being able to make sure that we see all of those things kind of in the big picture and not just isolating it to the one thing that might mean the most to us or give us that excuse to not do it, I think is really important.
So I want to talk, now that we realize the importance of the vote, I want to talk about protecting it and what barriers that exist and how people like you are working to reduce those barriers. So, for example, we've seen and we've talked about, I've talked with people on this podcast before, specifically Mark Elias, about some of the efforts that are that have been in place to try to make it harder to vote, whether it is citizenship requirements or moves by state to try to purge voter rolls or to try to allow new rules for hand counting ballots or giving electors, election officials the ability to halt or pause certification. By and large, courts have been striking those kinds of rules down. And so I just wrote a column about how the guardrails seem to be holding so far, but you are on the ground and focused on this. What are the barriers that you see existing in this election for voters, and how are they being overcome?
So I think one of the things that we see and that we're really paying close attention to now, right now, is the mis and disinformation. I can't name that as that is just the outside influence. We see foreign actors like Iran, who wants Kamala Harris to be the next president. We see Russia and China, who really benefit from Donald Trump being the next president, right? There's the foreign influence and the impact of social media and their ability. We have, you know, platforms like X, formerly known as Twitter, right? That has really, the owner, Elon Musk, he has a real perspective on who he wants to win. And so there is a ton of rampant mis and disinformation that's being allowed on that platform, which is a wildly popular platform, right? And so there's those kinds of issues. And then post 2020, we also saw that a lot of the social media platforms, because they were involved in litigation, they've been hands off on combating the mis and disinformation. They fired many of, I mean, if you go to some of these social media companies, they got rid of their staff. Yeah. So there's no real way to be able to push back. And while I know people say it's First Amendment speech, there's also the thing like, you can't go into a movie theater and yell fire and create harm. And that's what some of this bad information is doing. So we've seen it, for example, in North Carolina, when you have militia groups showing up in Western North Carolina and taking advantage of people out there and saying, we're the ones who are going to take care of you. These are hate groups.
Yeah.
They're hate groups. And so, you know, that is one thing. The mis and disinformation is really, really concerning because it can do so much harm when it comes to even, you know, the robocalls. The Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights, they had a lawsuit recently with the National Coalition of Black Civic Participation that they won. I'm sure you're familiar with it because of the robocalls, right? Yeah. So there's fake information. That's one thing. But
and
I don't
I
know
just
if you're
wanna, talking. Before you move on to other things, I just want to point out on social media platforms, you mentioned the First Amendment, moderating misinformation and disinformation on social media platforms is not a violation of the First Amendment. People don't understand how the First Amendment works. The First Amendment protects against government censorship. Twitter, Facebook, none of those places are the government. Those are private companies, and they have every right, responsibility to ensure that the information that is being spread on their platforms is not false and dangerous. But please continue.
No, you're right. And there's this fear of litigation, right? The amount of time, money, the brand, what it does, that they get so fearful. And so now we've seen this real abdication, I believe, of responsibility for a lot of the social media companies. But look, a third of young people between the ages of 18 and 35, according to Pew Research, get their news 100% from TikTok. So we've got to figure something out around that. But that for me is a major threat, right?
Yes.
And that can do harm because it's as simple as your early voting dates have changed, or you no longer have early voting, or you can no longer vote by mail because something happened, or your polling location is being closed down. Just one small bit of information can radically prevent groups of people, large groups of people, from being able to vote. And so that's what voter suppression looks like in the modern era. We also see the intimidation, which is concerning, although fortunately it has not been, I would say, thus far as bad as we've seen, you know, the in-person intimidation. But there are groups like Cleta Mitchell's group, who is, I would say, somebody who was a January 6th supporter and somebody who has a very different perspective on what our country should look like than the one that I have, who are putting signs up in places like North Carolina in Spanish that are saying, if you're an immigrant and you can read this sign, you should not be voting unless you are here legally. And you could go to jail and there are penalties and things like that. So it's the fear that it creates for some folks to be able to exercise their right. So those are just some examples, and I could go on and on. The list goes on. I will say they're not as bad in some ways as they were during 2020 because of the pandemic. It was even much more confusing for some folks. And you had militia groups because people were using ballot drop boxes and other things. So like Arizona back in 2020, where they had the military, paramilitary groups who were monitoring drop boxes. But states like open carry laws, for example, well, people, you can only be within a certain distance if you're carrying a weapon. But still, if somebody's at the edge of the parking lot and you're coming in and you know that they have an automatic weapon, that can be scary for somebody. Okay. So there's a lot of different things that are happening. And I will say that the people who don't want everybody's voice to be heard or don't think that certain people should be voting, they have come up with more and more creative ways to try to suppress the vote. And they're coming up with new tactics all the time in addition to their old tried and true ones.
So talk a bit about what is being done to bring these barriers down? I know one thing is litigation, which I mentioned that courts have struck down some rules like the hand count rule in Georgia or mm-hmm. efforts to purge voters in Michigan. And you can talk about that work, but even in addition to litigation, what is being done that can help people build trust and understand that their vote will be counted and that there is not either fraud or suppression that is affecting their vote?
Yeah, so there are a few things that are really great that I would say I'm very proud of. So Common Cause, the Lawyers Committee, and NAACP, there's about 400 groups. We all work together. We're called the Election Protection Coalition. We have a hotline. It's called the number is 866 Our Vote. We have those that information and people are on standby, both in English, Spanish, Arabic, a variety of Asian languages. And so it's a multilingual hotline. We have attorneys on standby. So if you have questions, you have concerns, you feel like your vote, something fishy might be going on, we have people who are on standby to engage in litigation, to walk you through and to connect you in with people on the ground in your communities. We're in all 50 states. We're in communities across the country. We have 25,000 volunteers across the country who are doing this work. And in communities, I think it's the important part of the diversity of our coalition is people feel more trust with people who look like them, right? If they're hearing it from somebody in their own language or somebody who looks like them, who's like, I have your back, and they're able to work with local election officials, or they're able to report that to attorneys who can then file a lawsuit. And sometimes it's also about just working with your local with the Department of Justice. Kristen Clark, who is the AAG for civil rights, who also comes out of our space, is adamant and just wonderful about making sure that our votes are protected. And so there's something called the 90-day window that I know you're familiar with, but because of the Voting Rights Act, there are certain things you can't do. It's against the law to purge voters within 90 days of an election. So if we see something that's happening, they have been so good about making sure that they are filing those lawsuits. They are sending letters out. They are letting people know this cannot be done. And so there are a lot of things that are happening, but I will say that the civil rights community has really shown up and will continue to do so time and time and time again. So we have people who are there on election day. We're making sure that people's votes are being cast, that they have access, that there is an intimidation happening. And then it goes all the way through to the follow-up, right? Are ballots being counted? Are they being processed in time? And I think, you know, especially for those people who maybe don't trust our elections process, and they've been subject to a lot of lies, and quite frankly, they've just been bamboozled and told wrong things. We saw, you know, with a lot of the January 6th sentencings, people said, I didn't know, you know, this, I found out afterwards. We don't want to shame those people, right? Because we know that there's this whole kind of apparatus behind those lies that have done harm to those individuals as well. So how do we reassure them? No, your vote is safe. And so by being able to make the process as transparent as possible, so they understand, well, processing and counting ballots is not exactly the same thing, and yeah, different states have different rules. People just want to know actually what it means. So like, I just was asked a question this week. They were like, oh, well, there's this person on X who said everybody should be able to have their vote counted by midnight on election night. And if not, there's fraud. Well, that's not true. And we had to go and explain that actually in a state like Florida, they have a really good process where you can get those numbers the same day, because they're able to start processing and counting ballots earlier than a state like Pennsylvania, where you can't even start processing, which means taking it out of the envelope, doing the signature matches until actually election day. So think about it. They're already behind the eight ball. It could take multiple days to then go through the rest of the process of the actual counting. So making sure that people have that information is really important, so that they know that there actually are people who have been qualified, trained, and that there's a process that is very specific to where they live, and that it's not a one size fits all in this country.
And that's such an important place because I want to end talking about voting plans. I know people have heard, have your voting plans. And I know some people will think, well, what's the plan? I get a ballot, I drop it off. Why do I need a plan for this? But you might. And I will just give an example for me is that since the last presidential election, I got married and my last name changed. And that created a little bit of an issue with me from my previous voting location to my current one that required my action to ensure that I was still on the rolls. Something as simple as that can be, and it wasn't something that I even thought about until it happened. So talk about how people can have a voting plan, which includes making sure you keep the number you mentioned, 866 our vote. But talk about having a voter plan and what it should be.
Yeah, so the voting plan is really important for all the reasons you just said. I too had a COVID wedding, pandemic wedding, so yes. So mine changed as well. So similar, same thing. Had to do all of the things to make sure my voter registration was up to date. So the plan is just you can go to your if it's your Secretary of State, you know, every state is different, but going in, checking and making sure that your voter registration is still in place, right? That nothing has changed, your address is still correct, you're there. And then make just the most important thing, make sure you're still registered to vote, that your voter registration is up to date. Once that's happened, then it's being able to look through the candidates. Like I could never live in California because their ballot is so long. So their ballot is so long in California, right? God bless the people in California who have like these long ballots. But there's all kinds of things. It's not just about candidates, right? There are ballot initiatives that are happening and referendums. You want to understand the questions. Sometimes the questions on ballot initiatives are really confusing. Right now, there's one in Ohio that is really confusing. So you want to make sure you understand, should you be voting yes or no on this thing?
Yeah, and they're confusing on purpose a lot of the times. Yeah. If you don't understand just by reading it simply, if it's confusing to you, then it's even more important that you figure out what it is, because there's a reason why it was written in a very obtuse and opaque way.
Yeah. And so it's oftentimes the party in control that gets to decide the ballot language, right? And so you want to make sure that you understand the questions. So having the time to just sit down in advance, and then also researching candidates. It's really interesting. I know that there are lots of, you can go to vote.org, you can go to vote411, which is the League of Women Voters website. There are tons of sources out there where you can research your candidates and be able to see, okay, whether or not we have something called a democracy scorecard, so we can go and see how people, you know, fared on their democracy issues. So being able to research your candidates and making sure, because I don't know about you, but I know for me, before I found out about a lot of these tools, especially when I was younger, it was just like, oh, there's five judges I have to choose from.
Yep.
I don't know what these judges think, right? Well, those judges are actually making really important decisions about our lives. And so, you know, just being able to take the time. So your voting plan is about making the time to sit down and look at your ballot. You should have a sample ballot. Those are all available for you to be able to see what the questions are that are going to be asked. So you have the ability. The other thing I would say is some parties or like slates will come together and they'll just say, this is your sample ballot. And so you have to be really careful when you're getting material in the mail, because sometimes it could just be one candidate you really like, but they've joined up with other candidates and they're saying vote yes for all these people. Well, you might not really like one of those other candidates on there and what they stand for, but they've joined up with somebody that you do. So again, it's just making sure that you take the time, quick little amount of time. It doesn't take a million hours, but it does take some time to just sit down and research those issues, and then making sure you know where your polling location is. Can you vote by mail? Can you drop a ballot off? Is there a ballot drop box? All of those things are really important. Do you want to vote on election day? Do you want to engage in early voting? I work elections, right, every year. So I do early voting, or I put mine in the mail. It's easy for me. It's convenient. I get it done. There's a website you can usually go to, or there'll be an email that'll let you know your ballot has been received. So it's all safe and secure, whichever way you choose to do it. But it's figuring out how you want to engage in the vote. And then last, I would would say, make sure everybody in your household, your friends, your family, make people sick of you by saying, do you have your voting plan? Did you get this done? Because the more that we engage that level of participation, the less likely we are to have an outcome where we are dealing with an electoral college issue, or we are dealing with it taking the courts to have to intervene to decide an election. And so the voting plan is not just about you. It's about the people that you care about and making sure that they're exercising their civic duty as well.
Yes. And it's important that if you run into any issues or you see issues at the polls, to call that number 866 Our Vote, because the organizations, including the League of Women Voters and the Lawyers Committee and Common Cause and all of them, they not only identify those issues leading up to and on election day, but they also keep other people informed. That's actually how I met Kristen Clark, was during elections. She was one of the people who would brief reporters about what was going on, where they were seeing issues, where things were running smoothly. That's part of the job, which is so crucial. It's very important for me to understand as a reporter, as a journalist, where voting was working and where obstruction or any sort of suppression was happening. So keep that number. It's not just for you and others. It's so that we can know what's going on and we can ensure that democracy in action is unobstructed.
Yeah. And the one thing I would say for folks who are like, well, who are these groups? We're all nonpartisan groups. None of us are able to engage in electioneering. So we're not out there, you know, stomping for any candidate. Our role is solely to make sure that voters have the access, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, it does not matter to us. Our job is to make sure that you have access to the ballot. And so we're going to go hard for you as a voter, no matter what we need to do. We're not going hard for candidates. We're going hard for people. And that's the most important thing, because we want people to know that we are trustworthy and that you can rely on us to make sure that your vote is counted.
I love that. Going hard for people and making sure their constitutional right to vote is protected. Thank you for your work, Virginia K. Solomon, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You know, my big takeaway from that conversation with Virginia is the extent to which knowledge is power when it comes to voting, knowing what to expect, knowing what's on your ballot, knowing what the stakes are, knowing what is truth versus misinformation is what protects our votes and what protects democracy. And to that end, I just want to leave you with a little advice for election day and election night. Know that that is the end of voting, but it's not necessarily the end of the election season. We know from 4 years ago that it took some days for all the reasons that Virginia stated, because of the way some counties, some states, some districts count and tabulate votes, the number of people they have doing it, it can take some time and it can feel gut-wrenching. It could feel stressful and anxiety-inducing. But know that that is democracy at work. So once election day comes and goes, be patient. I want you to go to bed on election night at your normal time. Know that your vote has been counted and know that it will take some time, and know that if election officials are telling you, as they did in 2020, that the vote is safe and secure and accurate, that there are guardrails in place to ensure that it is. We may not get the result on election night, but we will get it. And with your help, we will protect our democracy and the right to vote that is so crucial and important to it. I'm Kimberly Atkins-Store. Thank you for listening to Justice by Design. Can you do me a favor and follow the podcast wherever you listen? And check us out on YouTube too. You can find that at the Politicon's YouTube channel. I'll be back next week with another episode. Until then, take care.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.